Hello, everybody, and welcome to a highly anticipated show of season four of the Mic'd Up Show, where every mortgage has a story. This is the ultimate hub where the hidden stories behind the mortgage industry come to life. I'm Michael Kelleher.
And good morning from where I am. I'm Michael's Al.
And in every episode for our listeners, we dive deep into the entrepreneurial spirit, the strategic insights, and the breakthrough innovations that build the world's greatest mortgage companies. So whether you're advancing your career, scouting for industry leaders, we got a great one here, or exploring opportunities in fintech and prop tech and how it fits into mortgage, you're in the right place. So let's get ready to unlock the story behind every mortgage. Let's dive in. KP, we like to focus on, for our listeners who maybe one day can become the next big company, can you take us into the walls where you started to realize where you and your partners were making that leap and becoming the name brand that you guys are across the country?
Well, appreciate you guys.
Welcome to the show. You're like, you're a cool guy. Anybody who watches your show, I don't want to get in too serious. Thank you for everything you do for the industry. I think you've created a vortex of where people can come in, consume yours, and then talk about it, which is very cool. Kind of what was so great about Barstool Sports, which was originated out of my town, but it became popular in Boston because people had the same like blog they could talk about during the day. Everybody kind of knew they all read it. I feel like your Corona, California is good. You can have conversation in the industry and knowing that we've all watched. And I think everybody's thankful at this point. I always say outlast people. You have outlasted everybody trying to do a daily, weekly show. I think it's twice a week. So thank you for that. And knowing that before those shows came about, you obviously had to build a base with a great company and you're in multiple channels. Can you just take us? We always like to start inside the walls or some sort of story where you kind of knew things were going well.
Well, appreciate it. Glad to be here. You know, you and I have been on the road, bouncing around, having cocktails for years. And so it's about time we got together on this thing. I always say live from Corona. I'm never actually live, which is kind of funny. But right now we're actually live. It's like live from Newport Beach. I don't know if anybody ever picks up on that when I say live. No one's ever called me on it, but it's live when I tape it. So I feel like, you know, I have to say that. And everybody knows the rules, one slice, one bite. So shout out to Barstool. I really connected with the founders of PRMG, Paul Rozo and Robert Holiday. I think probably about 15 years ago at this point, I was kind of looking for my next move. I was part owner of a company called North Star Lending, and we were coming out of the financial crisis, and it was tough, especially if you were a seller servicer with Fannie or Freddie or issuer or Ginnie. Like, I mean, the network requirements were pretty tough. And so it was just a hard market, especially doing, you know, wholesale in South Florida. Like the entire industry hated wholesale, hated Florida, hated South Florida. And that's like, I'm like, that's what we do, you know? And so I needed to find a good solid home. And Paul and Robert, you know, the company is built by originators for originators. And so these guys originated, and to this day, you know, 24 plus years of existence, these guys are in the weeds. I mean, you wouldn't believe the stuff that these guys do. And so I just really, you know, hit it off with them. And I had this whole team that had been with me for two companies at that point, and I wanted to find them a home so, you know, we could put bread on the table for them and their families. And the timing worked out great. PRMG was doing about $125 million a month. My company's doing about $55 million a month. And, you know, now we're, you know, billion a month, you know? And so we've had a good run together. And, you know, we had a nice wholesale team, and we did a little bit of retail as well. And PRMG didn't have any East Coast presence. And so, you know, it was just kind of, you know, life's about timing. And it really, you know, was a cultural fit. They're privately owned, they're well capitalized. They had gotten through the crash. I asked them a lot of questions because I had just owned an IMB myself. And I'm like, you know, how'd you escape all the buybacks? Who are your warehouse lines with? What's your cash position? And they're like, whoa, slow down, Turbo. We just want you to help build the East Coast. I was like, okay, no problem. So, but that morphed into actual partnership. And they brought me on about 10 years ago. We had a conversation about coming to California and being their partner. And then that actually materialized about, 9.5 years ago. So it's been a great run. We have a lot more to do. We're all in case you haven't seen our branding. We're pretty excited. All three channels are, you know, we've got some heavy investments in tech in all three of our channels. Technically four, if you want to split correspondent into non-Dell and delegated. But we are, we're really excited. We're pumped up. No debt, good cash position, servicing portfolio to fall back on. We're profitable last couple years, profitable this year even more. Volume's up this year. We're feeling good about where we're going. Always want to knock on wood every time I say that, because you know how life is. It hits you with a right cross just when you let your guard down. But we've taken some punches. I got the broken nose to prove it.
Yeah, and that, it feels like you obviously are in a good position in just leveling up in all the different channels. What's it like balancing those channels? Like, is there one you start with first, or like if you were recommending, I guess, for other people, do you find it's easier to start with one and then the other, or vice versa?
Well, you know, when we say built by originators for originators, we mean all originators. And it's still, it's very hard to be a multi-channel lender. Now, we don't do consumer direct. We've still always thought that that is the biggest conflict of interest for originators, right? Like, you know, having, you know, a consumer direct channel that steals business straight out of the community from the originators you're serving. That's an old school thought, because a lot of people don't really seem to care, right? And maybe that's, you know, kind of goes back on my own, you know, feelings about an abundance mindset versus a scarcity mindset. Or maybe it's just because, like, it's just something we're unfamiliar with. We don't want to go there, you know? Although I think a lot of AI technology is going to make consumer direct-esque activities a lot easier. I'd rather arm local originators with AI to compete with any platform, in any channel, by the way. And so, yeah, they all have their benefits, right? They each platform has their benefit for certain things. And not every originator is a say, you know, not every originator. I mean, I know some people who are like, man, I absolutely love PRMG retail. Like, I'm never going anywhere. Like, I can get all the deals done that are tough, and I have relationships with all the underwriters and the COO, the founder, and I can make all these things happen. And when I pick up the phone, they pick up the phone, we get stuff done. They're building tech. They're so, you know, tech forward, da, 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 da. You know, and then you got people in the broker channel like, how could you ever work for an independent mortgage banker? I'm my own boss. I got my own thing. I got my own op, you know, like, it's just funny. It's like, it's so, I got to be like Switzerland, and I like being like Switzerland, because I like to be, you know, a servant to anyone and all their needs. And, you know, I just sit back and kind of internally laugh when, you know, people get like downright mean about other channels. I'm like, really? Just go build your business, dude. Like, go build your business, do your thing. No one's, you know, going through your entire life and everything you do right or wrong. Like, and I love it though. Like, I will say this, the brokers are better thing. Never really bothered me. I know it bothers some people, but you have to understand, like in 2010, brokers were, it was really tough. You know, HUD took away the Mini Eagle. And so like that non-Dell Core outlet all went away. So you only had to work for a lender at a full Eagle. And there weren't a lot of wholesale lenders out there that were championing the broker. You know, so if you're an independent broker shop, just a couple people on your shop, and you're sitting in Paducah, Kentucky, who's your champion? Who's your advocate? Who is putting you on a pedestal? Who do you look up to? And there's a big leadership vacuum there during that time. So I really like what, you know, UWM comes to mind. They did a great job of just picking them as a winner. And so, there was a lack of leadership there. But that doesn't need to be at the expense of, you know, retail independent mortgage bankers who do a phenomenal job. I mean, you look at Sean Benozian, he's not a broker. He's been number one for like 6-7 years, right? So there's something to be said about scale that you simply cannot replicate in every channel or every lender. And so they all are great in their own way. And so, you know, I don't like to sit here and say, well, this one's better than the other. Like you guys want to rally around and have a cry? Go for it, dude. Like it's great to have someone that has your back. PRMG has your back in all three channels, that's for sure.
What type of technology do you think the smaller broker can use right now in order to leverage themselves to say, you know, because right now there's a lot of newer brokers as that have gotten smaller, unfortunately, by default because of the rise of interest rates. However, it looks like that there's a potential of it coming back. So if you're smaller now, how do they leverage AI or any technology, and specifically through PRMG's technology now, to the next level to say, I'm small now, but I'm going to go to medium and then I'm going to go to large. How do we do that?
Yeah, newsflash, rates are the lowest they've been all year. So that's good. So they're back. Like, they're back now, right? And I think the propensity to only get better as the Fed continues to bend the curve. As far as technology, I will say there is, you know, if you're a smaller shop, it's hard to have the money to set aside to develop and to be quite honest, like, enterprise level technology is not offered to brokers. It's just not. So then you have to rely on your lender to invest in enterprise level technology to give to you as a smaller broker shop, because I mean, most broker shops don't even have enough money to pay for one EPO, right? Get a, you know, or you know, EPD. And so they're just not cash rich, and that's okay. I mean, that's not the model, right? And so you have to rely on lenders that have your back. Now, the best tech I've seen obviously gets, you know, afforded and handed to and pitched to all the larger lenders, and you go down the line, right? And but there's a balancing act there, right? Like, are you buy the technology for the technology? Are you buy the service in the portfolio for the service in the portfolio? Are you buy the hedge fund for the hedge fund? Or are you built by originators for originators? And I think you have to look at what the priority is at every lender. And I think that's what differentiates us, you know, from a lot of other lenders. As far as technology, you know, I'd probably spend more time building technology in our retail channel than you know, our other channels combined for years. Having said that, we did just roll out a new portal for our wholesale channel, and that's called Leo, Loan Express Originator. I've had that name for years. It's my dead dad's name. So if you ever see Leo out there from PRMG, just know that that is Loan Express Originator. We have the booth and the t-shirts to show for a couple years now. And we made a big splash over a year ago. And it was lovingly named after my father. You know, and that will roll out in our correspondent channel. And, I would also say, you know, in the retail channel, you know, we have other things that we're rolling out for them as well. You know, a lot of, you know, I see the question there about, you know, what brokers cannot get. I mean, you know, I don't want to go down the list, but I mean, there are technologies that simply don't deal with brokers. They just won't, because it's too hard to manage. It's too hard to have a bunch of instances for 4,000 broker shops. They would rather deal with Rocket or UWM or Freedom. And then it's up to those lenders to then filter it down to brokers. And so, you know, and it's a great question that was just asked in there. I mean, I'm just there's technology that just is not going to go to the brokers ever, because it's just too hard for them to manage. And so they build stuff that's built to scale. And the good news is lenders like us and other lenders can decide and pick those enterprise level technologies to then create a better experience for all their originators, including third party originators. And so, you know, whether it's CRM, AI voice, agentic AI, you know, I just had a meeting down the peninsula with a company that is taking call transcripts from AI voice and curating it and looking for, okay, this borrower hung up the phone when this was said, or this borrower was, their needs were not met. And, you know, we think a better way to approach this is doing it this way. And so an AI that can look at, you know, millions of transcripts at scale in an instant and give actionable insights to then say, here's how you coach your salespeople to be better. Now, you know, like that company's not going to go to the one-man broker shop or the 20-man broker shop. They may go to some of the mega broker shops. You know, shout out to Mike Cordes and the team at Nexa. They rolled out a technology that I've been looking at for over a year called Tidal Wave. I think it's it, it, it it really makes the point, right? So, you know, as a company scales, they have more money to invest in tech, and then the tech companies are the ones that are looking for companies like that that can scale together with them and have more money to scale. And so it's just economies of scale, right? And so it's not, you know, it's not a bad thing, you know? And so I think that brokers are going to continue to win. They still have great tech out there, but again, they just don't get all the options and opportunities because they aren't the target audience. So, anyway, we could talk about tech forever. It's literally like, I mean, I'm on the road half my life. I know like almost every tech vendor out there. And if I don't know them, I find out about them as soon as there's some buzz about them, or I've heard about them. It's kind of my job to know what's going on in the industry and then, you know, connect the dots. I do a lot of venture capital investing. I sit on Rice Park Capital's board. You know, I host and co-host together with our great team at the California MBA, the Mortgage Innovator Conference. It's a whole tech show geared around tech implementation that is innovative. We do it every May. We're down at Huntington Beach, and we have VC, we have equity, private equity, we have tech vendors that come in there, and it's a great show. And you know, and so how do you you know, get these companies together and brainstorm and talk about it? Everyone's been talking about AI since ChatGPT came along, but like we're implementing it now. We have use cases now. We have actionable insights that we can curate and make better. And it's a brave new world. But then it's also same as it ever was, like get on the phone with the client and, you know, provide value and service.
For what PRMG is doing right at this moment in AI or in any type of technology, what can the smaller broker do to become the next PRMG? And in other words, which tool can they use that you guys are currently offering so they can grow their volume in units and in dollar?
Well, I will actually say it's really not tech driven. I mean, if you want to be a lender, you have to actually underwrite files. So all the risk transfers to you when you take on credit decisions. So that's when you're an actual lender. And so you know, they used to call them mini eagles and mini core or whatever. Like there's all these different variants of it. But once you take on the credit decision, you have decided to leap into a completely different world. And it is profitable if you do it the right way. But then you go through bouts of unprofitability as well, right? And so it's a whole different animal. Yes, there's technology and underwriting. Yes, there's a lot of AI that's in underwriting, and there's a lot of enterprise tools to help you make credit decisions. That's what lenders do. And so anyone that doesn't make a credit decision is not a full-blown lender. Doesn't mean they're not a lender of some nature, but it has been improving for years. So, you know, I don't know if that answers your question, but you know that, you know, there's so many different types of technology. You're like, what are you using the tech for? You know, and there can totally be like paralysis to analysis, like I'm vetting out this one thing that I want, right? And so, you know, so to answer your question about, you know, does a broker want to become the next PRMG or become a lender? There's actually a lot of basic blocking and tackling. It's hiring underwriters, hiring an operations staff, learning to make credit decisions. How do you take risk? Do your counterparties believe you're a good risk? Do you have money to offset the losses that you will inevitably take when, you know, a broker sends you fraud? Like we had a broker in Oklahoma send us 12 straw buyer deals. Okay. It's the most fraud we've seen in 6 years. Okay. Including COVID. So one broker shop in Oklahoma sent us a nice little $3 million bomb. Okay. Because you know, they're a fucking asshole. Right. And so everyone's like, oh, the CFPB is going away and all the state, 50 states are going to step in. How about the CFPB put that guy in handcuffs and the realtors and the title companies? How about you do that? Cause that's where I see losses. Okay. Fraud is where I see losses. And to be honest, the CFPB, the last 4 years, they just wanted to make headlines on different initiatives. And they never wanted to go get the bad actors that are losing us millions of dollars and putting them in handcuffs. So I got to refer everything to DOJ and the Office of Inspector General. And the CFPB has nothing to do with that. And they're, you know, they come around and we went through a CFPB fair lending exam. You know, they want to make sure that minorities aren't getting worse pricing than white people. And we passed that exam. And that's great. And I'm like, hey, by the way, we've got this guy in Oklahoma, you know, who just committed fraud. Would you like to know about that? Oh yeah, just, you know, just file a suspicious activity report. We'll get back to you.
Call our tip line.
So yeah, And so, and by the way, the like all 50 states are going to step in. Yeah, maybe seven will step in that are as harsh or more harsh than CFPB. But we're in one of them. We're in California. And so we already deal with them. And to be fair, like they're all underfunded. They don't have the enforcement teams. Will they get there at some point? I hope so. I want them to get fraudulent actors out of the business and put them in handcuffs and put them, you know, on the front page of Housing Wire or the Mortgage Scoop or on your podcast. This SOB committed fraud. Did you ever do business with them? Like that, that to me is where the rubber meets the road. And honestly, this industry and all the regulators have failed at that.
Probably a storm coming with AI. I would guess that there's going to be an easier way to get fraud past the ones that aren't looking for it. So your superpower.
Palantir, baby. Palantir. They're doing
Double
it.
Now.
They're doing it for Fannie. They're doing it for Fannie. So, you know, please go sign a contract with them. My $8.60 stock price would appreciate it. But yeah, they're the AI. You're right. AI is getting into QC. It's getting into looking for bad actors. So sorry to cut you off. But yeah, there's a lot of buzz around that.
Yeah, just the ability to use ChatGPT to make a fake bank statement is like you've never been able to do that before. And so, and the level of education to do it makes the access to fraud easier. And so there's that risk, right? And sometimes it's easier to just, some people just would rather sell and be a broker and keep selling. You're always so curious. I'd say that's your superpower. You never judge people. You're out on the streets. You're always hearing. Obviously, you have your ear on the tech side. What is the sentiment right now with loan officers? Seems like we got some momentum in rates. Seems like everybody's now, I mean, it's been since what, 2022? So there's been a good runway now of opportunity. What's the sentiment going into the end of the year here and next year for the loan officers, originators, as you call them, you know, that you're talking to?
Well, it's always a grind. So trust me, we feel it every day. Brent Gleason is a Navy SEAL. He's spoken at our leadership conferences. He says, I like to say in the SEALs, the only easy day was yesterday. So get used to it. But having said that, it is nice to get some easier loans that come through the door when there's a rate drop. And so that is a nice way to give yourself a break, to give your underwriters a break, to give your bottom line a break and get some money to invest or do whatever you want to do with it. So, you know, lower rates do help and they do matter. And look at Rocket stock. It's been taken off ever since, you know, Wall Street has sniffed out that we're on a lowering rate environment. And so, you know, I think the second half of the year is always challenging, right? Just seasonally, just because there's less purchase business. But I do feel this year is a little unique. It's kind of like last year. You know, when you have elevated rates, you have some pent up demand that surprisingly pulls through in the back half of the year. And it did last year. I don't know that we will see as many rate cuts or from the Fed. Like we had, you know, 100 basis points of rate cuts from September 18th on through December last year. I don't know that we'll get that this year. We might get 50, 225s. But what I feel is different this year is I feel like it'll be a sustained lower anchoring of rates. So even though there's not as many Fed rate cuts, I feel like the rates will stay at a lower level for longer. Because I think what the bond market is sniffing out is that like we are having, you know, more sustained lower growth with sustained higher inflation, and the job losses in the jobs market is actually at a much lower and lower sustained rate ongoing. And whereas last year we saw some spikes in job growth, October, November, December, and so then rates actually went up. And so I don't see that right now. Like I don't see 250,000 jobs created every month for like 3 or 4 months in a row like we did last year. So the psyche of the borrower when they see rates not going up and down and shooting every day. I mean, if you know Barry Habib does such a great job, him and Dan and their team, they show this chart over like the last couple of years. Your windows of opportunity for refinance were like sometimes a day, maybe a couple of days, maybe a week at most. And if you didn't strike and have your strike right and your strike rate and your conversation set up and you're teed up and ready to go, so when it happens, you and the borrower are on the same page, as opposed to having 1,000 conversations in 24 hours, you were ready to go. And so that volatility does kind of hurt the psyche of borrowers. And to be fair, like half this nation hates the Trump administration and they're still freaked out about, you know, the volatility of tariff uncertainty. We're getting more tariff certainty. We're getting less volatility. We're at all-time highs in the stock market. People are feeling wealthy if they're in the stock market. They're feeling wealthy if they own a home. And then if rates are sustained less volatile and are staying low, the conversations about house hunting can take on a different kind of nature and they can materialize. And so I'll say what I've been saying since 22, 23, 24, this is your fourth last best good chance to buy a home. I said it every year since 22. I said, this is your last best good chance. 23, second to last, 24, third. This is your fourth last best good chance to get a good home price because home prices just keep rising. They just keep going up. And when rates go down, they go up even more. We're still structurally unsupplied, undersupplied. And so these conversations take some time to materialize. And with nice sustained lower rates, the psychology of the borrower benefits the local originator that is a first-time homebuyer hunter or maybe an existing home owner that wants this, like something like 75%. Of existing homeowners, when they sell a house, they're buying another one. And they've got a lot of equity to trade up. And so they would take a 6.25% rate or even a 6.5% rate, trading in that equity and the payment is about the same to level up, to get the better house because of the 70s, right? Deployment, diapers, diamonds. Actually, we say diamonds first, hopefully, then diapers, debt, divorce, downsizing, death, that stuff never stops. And there's pent up demand and people want to get into houses.
Yeah, it's, and then I think Barry says, like, if we're lucky enough, it goes 3 or 4 weeks and it hits that news cycle, then it's really going to take off. And we haven't had that luxury in a while. And then when it does, you will need that tech. And so this is a great chance for us to break and show you a little bit of our sponsors that are very tech heavy that help different lenders throughout the market. And then we'll have some questions for KP on the other side. So stay tuned and check out these sponsors.
Verifying income for all your applicants means you need roughly 23 different vendors and waste hours and hours of your team's time. But with Truework, it's just a single place for all your income verification needs, so you get the most advanced VOIE solution. Truework combines all major verification methods into a single, easy-to-use platform to give you a completion rate of 75%, cutting your cost by up to 50%, and getting real results for your team. Truework, your one-stop shop for income verification. Click, verify, repeat.
Where the company can do the configurability. So we have no code on this. So they can go in their settings. They can set it up all the way down to the loan officer if they want to. We also have a customer support team that's assigned to each account. And they, if they want, they can overhaul everything if they wanted to. They have a new product, especially dynamic apps. With dynamic apps, we can fit multiple. We can fit the Fannie Freddie loans. We can new construction, one-time close, HELOCs. You know, whatever those workflows are, they can design that workflow for each individual app. Now, what's going to take it to the next level is the AI and the OCR piece.
Cyber and wire fraud. Can you afford the risk? Today's automation and technology-based trends demand solutions to fraud threats. Funding Shield provides lenders and investors real-time transaction-level verification, certified wire fraud protection to protect loss of funds at closing due to cyber-based and other threats. We help improve your bottom line through fraud prevention, risk management, and validating the parties and documents involved in mortgage closings. Prevent fraud and theft on your closings.
Want to take your business to the next level? As a longtime trusted mortgage service provider, Mortgage Connect works with some of the largest lenders, servicers, and institutional investors, providing cutting-edge solutions for everything from title, closing, escrow, and default to capital markets and risk solutions. Mortgage Connect brings it all to the table, redefining mortgage lending with innovative digital solutions that can elevate your bottom line.
It's time to use AI to revolutionize the way you do marketing in 2025. With ADM Intelligence, we have access to 5,000 consumer data points and proprietary AI technology that helps you understand who is in your database. What's the likelihood of people to do a real estate transaction? And also who they are. So for example, someone who's 50% likely to transact the next 6 months, who's a first-time homebuyer, should receive very different content than someone who is, let's say, not as likely to transact that already owns a home. And of course, our content team will provide you with all of that turnkey out of the box to market to everyone in your database. So to learn more, come find us at ICE. If you're there, we're booth number 327, or go to our website, thinkadm.com. Love to walk you through a custom demo of how AI can supercharge your marketing this year.
Thankfully, we have some amazing sponsors that allow us to get amazing guests. KP, you are, for many, somewhat the face of mortgage, and it's an omni-channel approach. So you have your impressions on LinkedIn, and then you go to a lot of conferences so people get to see you in person. When you look at the industry, like, what brings you joy? How are you able to get up every morning and run this big company, but then also fly out here, then see your sales team, represent them, and then have time at night to be live from Corona, California?
Espresso.
Nespresso, right? The big...
I'll take it in any form. It's funny because when I'm at trade shows, you know, people just walk up. They're like, "Do you want to get your Nespresso?" They know, like at 9:30 and 2:30 Pacific time, like I am on, right? And so it helps. I don't sleep much. I'm going to die early because of it. That's okay. I don't think I want those last 20 years. But and I got the Whoop band to prove it at me every day. Did you have sleep debt? Yeah. I know. We have such a great team, and my partners are amazing. Paul, Robert, Gary Malice runs strategy and cap markets. He's such a good dude. We're a very experienced team. We've been in this business a long time, and we have other leaders on our senior management board that are incredible. And so, you know, I kind of joke like in the retail channel, okay? P&L management. Yeah, we say RPM, recruiting, profitability, and management, right? So they go through the P&Ls with all the branch managers in retail. Okay. So there's a branch manager. There's a lady that does that for our company and puts those together and puts all the content together. And she's amazing. Then we have two people that run the retail channel, and then our CEO. Do I need to be on that call? It's kind of funny. It's kind of glib, but like, it's just math, right? Like, you know, I took calculus in college just for a fun elective to get an A. Like, it's just math. So to me, you know, I don't need to be on that call. Now, if someone asks me something, I'm available, right? And so you've got to let your leaders do their thing and trust that they're going to be good. I think the hardest thing for most businesses as they scale is to trust your people. Like, because every business owner has this mindset, no one's going to do everything better than me. Really? You're going to underwrite files? You're going to build a website? Yeah, I'm going to pick up this book and hire someone to build a website, right? You just put five incredible vendor sponsors up there. They're all great. I'm familiar with all of them. They're all amazing. And so, you know, let them do what they're a specialist at, right? And so, you have to... I don't want to say delegate because it makes it sound like I'm lazy and I don't work. I work my ass off, right? So I was at the office till 1 a.m. the last two nights, you know? It allows me to travel. I work from my phone. I have the poor distance vision to prove it because I squint at my phone for years, you know? And Team Android, let's go. And, I think that's it. It's just having a good team around you to lock arms side by side, not behind you, not for you, not below you. Literally, like when we define the originator, the account executive, the branch manager as our client, that's who everyone in our company serves. Like our CEO and founder eat shit sandwiches every day, you know? And so, you know, we serve them, and you have to, this is a service. It's the financial services industry. And I think a lot of people forget about the service part. No one's here to serve you. I mean, if you're an owner, like you are serving your team. What are you doing to tee them up? What are you doing to serve for success, as Chris Sorensen, our retail channel, likes to say? And so, and you're a multi-channel lender. We've got Herb Lewis, director of wholesale, and Jay Bond, our director of correspondent. We've got a great team. And so I think that's what allows, you know, me to kind of have the leeway to do what I do. And, you know, I'll toot my horn for a second, but, you know, I work 24/7. I don't sleep. I work at a high level. When I'm on the road, I'm having conversations with people in the industry, and I'm learning, I'm listening, I'm curious. I have a mindset session with Steve Scanlon from Rewire every other week. And we talk about my mindset, and I try to be curious. I try to listen. I try not to judge. And, you know, yeah, I was talking at a level 10 earlier when I get fired up about fraudulent originators, but I try and be a 6, like I'm talking now. You know, people don't like to be talked at. It's very off-putting. So I apologize earlier if I off-put anyone on here, but I get a little fired up when there's people that cost my company $3 million for committing fraud. I feel like, you know, in Texas, they should be shot for stealing horses, but in America, they should just be arrested, and I can't even get that. So anyway, I think you got to continue to build your team around you. You know, Paul and Robert took me on as a partner. They gave me shares in the company 9.5 years ago. That was a big step for them to expand, ownership. And to be quite honest, I took a pay cut until 20 and 21. I was on a different comp plan, being out front, bringing a team here that eventually became 65% of this company's revenue. And they're like, come to California, do it everywhere, whatever you do. And what I did change the day I got here, I mean, I think they probably thought I was going to look at spreadsheets and go through and go, this person's account, you know, we can get 10% lift here and there. I was like, dude, our tech sucks. we got a lot of work to do. You know, we have a lot of work to do in all three channels. And so I probably, you know, spent a lot of time trying to make us a modern platform that stands the test of time and continues to evolve. And so, I could go into that a lot, but I think many leaders in the organizations, no matter how big or small, face the same challenges. And so, you know, you bring up my LinkedIn. I think, you know, one of the main reasons I got on LinkedIn is I really only saw Matt Ishby out there doing it with 3 minutes with Matt. And I'm like, dude, this guy's putting it out there. I think it's great. And then he called out my company. So I like, he's like, we think it's a conflict of interest that some retail lender hired the president of NAM to help them, you know, recruit. And we hired John Stevens, and he was helping us, you know, recruit in the retail channel. And I'm like, some retail lender, man, we've been doing wholesale since the day we started, you know? And so I consider Matt a friend, and I have tremendous respect for him. So I don't mean to say this in any kind of bad way, but I felt like he's the only owner that is consistently out there. And what a brilliant thing to do to control your narrative and, you know, tell your story. And so, but you guys know, I don't really, you know, I don't promote PRMG out there. Like, I wear the t-shirt and I talk about some things that we're doing to give insights. I freely give away some of our thoughts and what we're thinking on shows like this and on my LinkedIn, but I hardly ever talk about, oh, PRMG, da, da, da. Like, you won't see me out there like that. And I think it's great that there are a lot of leaders out there that do that, but there aren't enough leaders that are owners and shareholders that put their face on camera and talk. And I think that's probably why my LinkedIn, you know, resonates out there. And I apologize in advance for listening to 10 to 15 minutes of rambling twice a week. This week's 3 times a week. It's a really busy week. We're closed Monday, so I figure I'd throw something for people to chew on a long weekend on Friday. There's a lot of news coming out tomorrow. So I did one last night. There were a couple weeks every other month, or every month, every 6 weeks, where I'll do 3 videos Monday, Wednesday, Friday, as opposed to just my normal cadence, which is Monday, Thursday. But I think people want to hear what with ownership is thinking, because we all got challenges. We all have problems. We all have battles and fires we put out every day. And this, again, the only easy day was yesterday. But, you know, I'm an abundance mindset guy. I'm a collaborative guy. I love hearing what, you know, Matt doesn't have to go out there and do his 3 points and put out what his thoughts are. He doesn't have to do that. And he willingly gives some thought leadership away. It's brilliant. And you know, so I think more owners should do that more often.
I have a question for you, because you talk, one of the things that you really well is stay curious. I recently am going through a book called Retire Mentality. And one of the things the author goes and writes about is that when people retire, they get bored. This is what, you know, like, they've worked all their life and they get bored. However, the trait that you remain consistent on is curiosity in the markets, curiosity in what to do, curiosity to be the better version of yourself. If you were to have one question for a leader, an originator, or for ops, what is the question that each leader, salesperson, or ops person should be asking themselves to stay curious on so that they can grow within their own company or their trade?
Do you have kids?
I do. I have 3 adult kids.
Yeah, you're not retiring anytime soon. Yeah. Well, adult kids is actually gone. Maybe you are retiring. We have 4 kids here in Newport Beach, and I'm going to work till I die at my desk, unfortunately. One of the things I talk about with the guys at Rewire is, I agree with them. I think coaching and mentorship in our industry is generally bad. It's very sports-esque, right? Like, I played soccer and baseball, and, you know, I've been yelled at, you know? And so, make 50 phone calls today, go out, do more work, just go, you know, sell what you got. Like, okay, great. That's very tactical and in the moment, you know, and I get it. There's a place for that, right? Like, dude, you didn't put your glove down on the ball and the ball went between your legs. How many times have we done this blocking and tackling drill? You know, get down on one knee, put your glove down, and you won't. And yeah, okay. If the ball bounces, it hits you in the nose and the teeth, whatever, you know, but at least it didn't get past you and give up another run. And so there's a time and place to correct mistakes in that sports way. But I think if you really dig deep into people's, you know, their why, as Simon Sinek says, what is it that gets people going? Most of the time it's family, right? And so it's why I ask you about your kids. Like, most of us are really working for not necessarily legacy, because that's kind of ego. It's like, you know, let me extend myself forever, you know, but you want your children to have a better place in this world. And man, with AI, like, what's this world going to look like? I'm not fearful of it, but I mean, we're going to have universal base income. And so, I've talked about the haves and the have nots quite a bit. And if you look at Europe, there are many countries in Europe where the middle class is pretty thin, and either you own real estate and have money or you don't. And so America isn't there yet, thankfully. But one of the things that I like to talk about is the mission that we're all on, which is to put people in houses. And it is the single biggest payment we make every month, your average American. And it's 63% home ownership. We're building wealth together. And if you own a home, you feel pretty good the last few years. You've built some serious wealth on paper. And if you're a renter, good news is, you know, you can still get into a home. You just have to have these conversations with local originators and come up with a strategy on how to get the door open and start gaining wealth, as opposed to paying rent and making a landlord rich. And I don't care what Dave Ramsey or anybody says, you need to own a home. Renting only makes sense if you like, I have to live near the beach. Okay, well, maybe you can't afford to buy near the beach. It's pretty expensive, right? Or maybe go find a cheaper beach. You can work from anywhere. So, you know, I am a huge proponent of asking those teammates, you know, have you thought about owning a home? Do you own a home? How can we help you get there? You literally are in our business where we foster the American dream. How can we do it for you? And I think that anchor of wealth creation and building equity over time is a very important conversation to have with anyone on our team, ops, sales, third party, it doesn't matter. And then, of course, it's like, all right, now how can we, you know, make your life easier? How do we solve problems? You know, how do we sit down and look at every position in our company and see what they do and, you know, make the process continually better every day? I mean, you know, AI is going to change every position in our business, and it's going to help us scale, be more efficient, get time back, which is the one thing you can't get back. You know, I can't turn back the clock. Although I think there's some quantum lab that just turned back time 1 second here on Earth. Seriously. Like, I know, like, don't even get me into like the space time continuum. The best book I ever read was Dr. Stephen Hawking. I read it in high school. It's called A Brief History of Time and Space. It's very heavy. but it'll make you, like, if you think you're having a bad day, just start going down the wormhole of watching TikTok videos. Curios is a good one. It talks about how big the universe is. I mean, it's like 2 trillion galaxies with hundreds of billions of stars in each galaxy. I mean, you're having a bad day, you know, like, I don't know how to get in that stupid, you know, shooter's mind. When I saw his video yesterday, you know, what is it that made that guy snap? You know, life, you know, dealt him a pretty challenging deck of cards, and he felt very small and unsupported. And, you know, it made him want to go kill people, you know, and you watch the videos of him before he went. It's very disturbing. There's a lot of mental health issues out there, and they range from suicidal to shooter to, you know, man, I just am not motivated today to make a phone call and talk about loans, you know? And so mindset is a big deal. And, although it's kind of a benefit, people are turning to AI, like an AI coach that helps them, you know, like I got this Whoop band, it's got an AI coach. It spits out all this stuff in a large language model that tells me, you know, work on this, do this, think about your sleep, think about your health. I do a blood draw with a nutritionist that I hit me up on LinkedIn Messenger 5 years ago that got me on this thing. And then I get custom supplements and I feel better. I measure things every quarter, you know, in my blood. What am I lacking at? He tells me to not drink as much. I'm trying. So, I think mindset and health, faith, health, family, career, you know, in that order, you know, those are our pillars at PRMG that our CEO likes to talk about. And those are things that we have those conversations with. I'm not advocating, go be a faith-based person. I mean, a lot of people are, but, you know, what do you put your faith in? Do you put it in the spirit of the universe? Do you put it in energy? Do you put it in yourself? Are you a nihilist? Whatever it is, it's still faith in something. And, you know, you need to know what drives people and gives them peace, right? Which helps give them health, which then allows them to focus on their family and then their career to provide for their family and up that chain. And so those are the things we talk about when we're talking to our teammates.
Yeah. We talked about that last week with Dave Savage. You know, we talked about when your values are clear, your decisions are easy, right? And so when you have faith-based type of mechanisms in your life, then you're making easier decisions, whether it's to make the hard phone call or whether it's to say, I'm going to do XYZ activities or whatever it's supposed to be. You're remaining not only true to your activities, but your faith keeps you grounded to where you need to be versus where you should be. And I think that we're able to create cognition for ourselves as a result. So, you know, it's important that we have these types of views and curiosity, seeking not only faith, seeking not only value, seeking not only this, but having that why within ourselves to say there's actual significance in our lives, either to serve a higher power or to be the best version of ourselves. Matthew McConaughey has that story where he's at an award show where where he says, you know, he's talking to a friend and he says, what are you at the best version of your life right now? And he goes, no, ask me in 10 years. So 10 years from now, it goes across. We've probably heard the story before. He goes, have you reached the best version of yourself? Oh, no, because I'm always going to be chasing that person 10 years from now to be a better version of yourself. And so he goes and to say, always be chasing to be that better version, because now you have someone to chase after. Now you have someone to look up to. And I think that when we have these types of curious ways of living our life, it brings off a greater amount of curiosity. So instead of being introspective for our present, we're bringing perspective for a reframing for that future. It's something that I look up to you, Kevin, when you're producing content, because it's always looking something to look forward to chase after. And I think that part of your leadership, not only for PRMG, but also for your teammates and for the industry, it leads us into the type of curiosity to figure out, number one, why do you have this curiosity? And then number two, thank you for doing that so that we can listen to the type of questions you're asking yourself so you can bring the content to us.
Well, I appreciate that. I love Dave Savage, good friend of mine, has a house not too far from me. And he's got kids that are moving to Oregon. So, you know, he's spending a lot more time in Oregon now. And Matt McConaughey is great. You know, it's a fine line to kind of always be better, because then you kind of fall in this trap that if I'm trying to be better, I'm not good enough today. And people can be self-defeating in that. And so, and I mean, honestly, like, you know, even with my spouse, she can think, well, you know, she's not good enough because I'm always trying to set the bar higher, or I'm not good enough for her, or we're not good enough for our kids. You know, my 12-year-old just gave us a PowerPoint presentation last night, pitching us on why she deserves an e-bike, which is like a big thing around here. Yeah. Right. And so, you know, like, do I want her playing in traffic at 28 miles an hour, you know? And so, you know, it's scary, but it was kind of cool that, you know, she pitched, I was blown away by her. I mean, the salesman, I mean, you know, even, you know, 10 years ago would have been like, okay, we're going to buy it right now. But, you know, my 10-year better version is like, okay, good job. Delayed gratification is a big thing with child development. It's not a no or a yes today. But we're going to work on your safety first. I want to ride with you on your new route. She's now in seventh grade at a new school in Ensign Middle School. And so I want to ride with her. I want to inspect what I expect. One of her sides is like, I will stop at every stop sign and every red light. I will not be on the phone. I will not, you know, da, da, da. I mean, she knew all the high points, you know. You won't have to be bothered for a ride because I'll be taking care of myself. Like she went, I mean, she had like 15 slides. It was amazing. But I care about her safety, and I don't want to get smoked by some asshole looking at his phone while driving way over the speed limit. Right. And so, I want to ride with her on her new route. You know, I did with my kids when they just went down in the neighborhood, you know, to kindergarten. You know, I would ride with them in kindergarten and first grade to make sure that if they want to ride a bike to school, that they know how to get there. They know how to look, they know when to stop, they know the route, they know how to lock their car. And I, you know, and so, you know, that kind of translates into our space, because you want your teammates at your company to feel safe. You want them to feel like, you know, the other part that we talk about, you know, with Steve over Rewire and being a good leader and a mentor is also building trust. And that's why I love the name of this podcast, right? Growth through trust, right? You know, I'm trying to build trust with the industry, by freely giving away my thoughts, without anything in return. And so, because I think we can all be stronger together. And so I, you know, I think there's a lot of room for us, to put this industry, you know, on a, you know, a higher pedestal. I mean, it's just this little $2 trillion industry that promotes, you know, multi-generational wealth, no big deal. You know, and it's funny because you get technologists that come in from outside the business and they're like, oh, these mortgage schleps, we're going to automate everything. Okay. You know, you can't implement your AI if you don't have my 800,000 contacts. You know, you look at Apple, they haven't picked an AI winner to boost Siri and their billion person installed base or whatever the number is of iPhone users around the world, because they have the users, they have the entry point. So when they let all these large language models, you know, create some parity and some commoditization, they're going to pick a winner. And then they'll probably do it as good as anybody, if not the best. And so no hate on Apple from me, even as a team Android guy. So, you know, I think, you know, it's okay to be a fast follower and, or even, you know, behind that, you got early adopters, fast followers, and then you have kind of the rest of the cohort. I think, you know, people want to pick the right thing, right? You know, I'll give you an example. So we prioritize AI voice because that will help the salespeople drive revenue. I prioritize that over agentic AI that will text and email and collect documents. I'm not in a hurry to put processors and loan officer assistants out of business and put them on the streets, especially not now with agentic AI. But if we do AI first, that corporate responsible decision is to load up the processors, originators, and loan officer assistants with business. Now I can layer in an agentic AI to help them do more. And then we'll see who, you know, can make that transition. So I'm not in a hurry to save $5,000 per P&L. I'm in a hurry to create $50,000 more in revenue per month per P&L by doing AI voice. And if some salespeople don't make it, who are straight commission, that's a little more of a pill I can swallow, as opposed to putting good processors and LOAs out on the street first. And so, you know, you have to make these decisions. Corporate responsibility is a big thing when you think about AI. Not here to, you know, cut 20% of my staff and go, yay, we got AI, we saved the buck. Like, we don't even think like that. So, but some companies do. And so, you know, that all is kind of part of it. And that's part of building trust, right? I think our people trust us when they know that I'm out here openly saying what our AI strategy is. Some companies don't know what their AI strategy is. And next thing you know, they're on the streets. You know, I just helped implement this whole thing and now I'm out of a job. And you look at some of these hyperscalers, some of these tech companies, you know, Meta and Microsoft, you know, they're firing people right left with the AI that their employees are helping build. And so, I think, you know, our business is still very grimy and very, full of contact, especially with the first time homebuyer. So it's hard to automate everything, which is actually a good safe haven for both originators, realtors at the local level.
With you doing all this research and you being so active and then putting it out on content, it's almost like you've been down this route before and you can help others at least see where they're going and how to do it. So thank you on that route. And
thank you for joining us on this journey into the heart of mortgage innovation. Remember, every mortgage has a story, and we're here to help you write yours. If you enjoyed today's insights, please subscribe, share with your network, and connect with us on social media. Until next time, keep pushing the boundaries and uncovering the stories that drive our industry forward.